Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls, your stories as we talk soul to soul. Deborah Martin with us, Sherry Gettin. You know that story I told you about a couple of years ago? There was that moment, that very brief moment, that even I had my doubts about the other side. I had a friend of mine died in a motorcycle accident, and we were at the funeral, and I hate funerals, and there he was in the casket, and I just looked at him, and it just looked so stark, so empty. So just nothingness. And for a split second, I felt, what if this is it for him? There's nothing left. It's over. Done. It's got to be one of the worst feelings I've ever felt. And I snapped out of it really fast. Believe me, I'm a believer in the afterlife. And it's a feeling I never wanted to have again. There's something very stark about that. Anyway, we'll come back in a moment. We'll take your calls. Deborah Martin, Sherry Gettin with us on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, along with our two special guests, Deborah Martin, Sherry Gettin, as we talk about soul to soul. Deborah or Sherry, that story I just talked about, my friend dying in a motorcycle accident, in that starkness, that moment where I felt that there wasn't an afterlife. It's a horrible feeling. Why would one feel that way?
I think if you haven't experienced it and you don't know, you know, then you do feel, you question, you know, what do you have to, what's tangible? You know, what can you relate to? And most people can't. You know, I guess through, this is Sherry talking, and through all our healings and through seeing Deborah's body transcend and come back and then her taking people on spiritual journeys to greet their loved ones, I'm no longer afraid to die because I know that it is so loving and so beautiful. And, you know, it's definitely shifted me. And not that I want to die, but it's made me realize that there is an afterlife and life goes on, our spirits go on. And, you know, it's this beautiful place. And, you know, I guess just seeing Deborah's body, all her experiences, having people come in to connect to their loved ones in a healing session has shifted me for sure.
Was it normal for me, however slight, to think that maybe there is no afterlife?
It is normal for you to feel that way. I think most people do, and it's easier to not want to open that door because it can be scary. What lies beyond us? Do I even want to go there? Do I want to reach the unseen? Do I want to touch the untouchable? Because it can be frightening, it can be fear, and it could be like, well, what if there isn't? And if I am thinking something, am I being fooled? Is it just my mind?
Right.
And I think what I've learned is I would rather have one foot in the door than not and keeping the door closed altogether.
I just want to have the key.
Exactly. Well, you want the key, but why not have the key where the door is open? You're peering in versus, you know, people want to keep both feet here because they feel safe. But why not just put one foot door in and get a little taste?
Yeah, and you know what else, George? We had a lady that came to us, and she didn't come to us to be healed. She came to us because she was afraid of dying. And they had only given her, I think, a few days to live. And so she came. She was in a wheelchair. She barely made it. She had been in hospice. And she had a healing session with us where God brought her father forward and explained to her everything that was going to take place and how he'd meet her, that he was going to be wearing this suit. And I tell you, she was so scared. And when she left, she was full of light. She was laughing. She had this conversation with her father on the other side. So she did pass. She didn't pass that quickly. She was given another, I think, 3 to 4 months. But then her husband said, you know, she had left, you know, they'd talked about some signs that she would leave also. And then, you know, afterwards that, you know, he kept seeing the blue butterflies. That was a sign. So it was neat to see her, someone who was so afraid of dying. Is this really real? Is my father going to meet me? That she actually came to us, and, you know, and her stories in our book, Direct Connect to God, and it was beautiful. And it was just, you know, everything that I've experienced and felt, it's pure love. It's unconditional love. It's actually quite beautiful.
What's the difference between a ghost and a soul? Or is it the same?
To me, it's the same. I think we like to make things dramatic and call it a ghost because it's scary. You know, when my daughter first started seeing spirit, she would look at me like she just saw a ghost. And she'd have that look, grab my hand, and I would know, okay, let me walk her through this. That's because we fear it rather than having an open heart to it. They're not here to hurt us. They're here to guide us and to love us. And that's when Sherry was talking to you about that story. I just want to say, her last words before she passed, she told her husband, my dad's here. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, her husband came to us and said, my dad's here. I'm ready to go. It was beautiful.
I would guess that's pretty emotional, too, at the same time.
Oh, it's so emotional that you are tapping into this higher... I mean, it's a love like you don't feel. It's instant. It comes and shifts all of us in the room where we're weeping. You can feel it, and you can't deny it. And it's really kind of unexplainable because it's so powerful.
And it really, it touches, and another part of that is there's so much love. And, you know, healing is all about love. It's about unconditional love and feeling worthy and feeling deserving of. And, you know, so we tap into that, you know, I guess if you could call God, he's loving, it's unconditional love. And, you know, we're tapping into that love. And, you know, I always have a tissue. I'm always crying in that room. I leave there, I'm wiping.
You big baby, you.
I know. It's, and then I'm the one who also grabs people tissue who are laying on the healing table, because not many people leave without crying, because you're tapping into that divine, that higher power. And when you tap into that, you know, you can't, I don't just cry like that, you know, but when you're in that room, you're in that frequency, you're in that vibration, you are in that vibration of pure, unconditional love, and there's nothing like it. It's beautiful.
I get to tell you both my afterlife story about the dead politician. You ready to hear it?
Yes, we want to hear it.
So this dead politician, he dies, and he goes up to the Golden Gates in St. Peter's there, and the politician goes, oh, I made it to heaven. Let me in. St. Peter said, not so fast, not so fast. Before you come into heaven, you have the right to make up your own mind of where you want to go, heaven or hell. He said, I'm not going to go to hell. He said, wait a minute. You have to go look at it first, and then you come up and make your mind up. And he said, all right, fine. So, you know, he hits the elevator, the down button, and up comes the devil in the elevator, and he meets them with a glass of champagne and a couple of nice women are all around him, and they let him in, and down they go to hell. And the elevator door opens, and everybody's down there. There's music, there's wine, everyone's having a great time, and he goes, this is hell? And the devil says, well, you got to decide what you want to do. And he said, okay, I'll go back up to heaven, and I'll tell St. Peter. So he goes back up, and he says, St. Peter, I'm going to stay in hell. And St. Peter says, you sure? You know, he's up in heaven, and there's angels and clouds, and they've got harps, and he's bored to death. And he says, I want to go to hell. I've decided that's what I want. And so he says, fine. So he pushes the elevator door, opens up. The devil greets him this time, not with a bottle of champagne, not with anything. He throws him in the elevator. They go all the way down to hell. The door opens. People are screaming, hollering, burning. It's horrible. And the politician is, he's there. He's there for the rest of his eternity. And he's screaming at the devil going, well, what happened? What happened to the real hell? What happened? And he said, oh, that was before the election.
That pretty much sums it all up, right?
Yep.
Let me tell you, I did a reading for an atheist that passed. And when he was connecting, he was like, describing what he went through, and it was so confusing to me because...
Had he already passed when you were doing
passed,
this?
Yeah, he had passed. He was on his honeymoon, and he passed, and he fell to the floor, and he was like, where am I? What's going on here? Like, because he felt he was still alive.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
His body's not, and he couldn't understand what was going on, so I was explaining this to his wife, and his wife goes, well, I know why he's like that, and I go, well, could you assist me? Because I don't know what's going on here, and she's like, well, he was an atheist. And so... once he got to see the light, what Sherry and I do in our sessions, he was able to say, you know what, I'm ready to go. And he did go, but he wasn't sure where he was.
One more question based on that, then we'll go to calls. How long does it take in terms of Earth time for that person who has died to realize they're dead?
Instantly.
They know that then right away.
Instantly. They have the choice of when they're really taking their last breath. They see it instantly. I actually can have tapped into people and talked to them right immediately within minutes that they've transferred.
Do you think there's any gap in between the living and the dying realm? Or is it just a flow where you die physically and there you are instantly in this other environment?
I think there's a gap because, you know, we also connected with a man. It was a healing session, and his family contacted us. He was in the hospital. He was in a coma, and so he was able to communicate. His spirit was kind of going back and forth, and he was in a coma, and he was able to communicate words to his family that gave them closure. And so I do feel there's some going back and forth, and it's you know, and he was able to. And then he was also sharing with his family, I'm so grateful that you're here. I'm in your presence. I'm also with God. This decision is between God and I, and know that I'm okay. And then he gave him the sign of a rainbow. And the rainbow was the family words to let them know that they were okay. No one knew that. But he said, you know, just remember the rainbow. And it meant everything to the family. They knew they were communicating with this man who was in a coma in the hospital while we were having a healing session in Arizona. So I do believe that there is this flow, and I believe that they are going back and forth, and you know, that they can communicate. The wife felt like she had a translator to speak with her husband, and she was so grateful for that.
Well, I
also, you know, I know there's a gap because I went there.
You were there. You're living testimony.
Yeah.
Or dying testimony.
Yeah, exactly.
And I brought her back. I said, you're not leaving.
So, you're the one.
I'm the one. Yeah.
She wanted to stay.
You need to stay with me. We have work to do.
Let me tell you, there's days that I tell her, really?
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. But it's all good. The work that, you know, the one thing that Deborah and I can say, the work that we do when we walk into that room together, we are so grateful and so blessed, and we love what we're doing. You know, sometimes we wish we could lock ourselves in the room and stay there because it is that beautiful.
Sure. I always tell people, look, I'm in no rush to get to the other side, but when it happens, it happens.
Yes.
Let's go to the calls now for you. We'll start it off by going east of the Rockies. Paul is in Elgin, Texas. Welcome to the show. Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Hey there. Hey, you there?
Yeah, glad you got through.
All right, great. It's good to talk to you again. Anyway, my name's Charles, really, but that's okay.
But you call it Paul. How did we get Paul out of you?
It'll be fine. But the thing is, my, you know, that feeling, I know it may sound a little bit more cheerful now, but the thing is, the feeling that you said you had for a split second is really the, and that you never wanted to feel again, is the feeling I've been feeling for about 8 months now. Mm-hmm. And I hope you can still hear me.
Yeah, we can. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, and I kind of wanted to ask Deborah or Sherry, or both, if they ever get involved in, if they ever deal with people that, in the case I'm dealing with, talking about a visionary, really, who was murdered, but if they ever get involved in cases or situations, whatever it is, where somebody has been murdered, particularly in medical custody, but in this case, on an ambulance by some thugs, some rather thuggish steroid abusing.
Well, I don't know about the specifics of the case, but yes, they do get involved in people who have been murdered. We were talking about an episode before. Does the victim come to you, or do you have to go find the victim, Sherry?
What happened is, you know, Deborah has had, you know, several police cases, and we actually do it as a healing. The family, one time the law enforcement had come to us, sometimes there's family members that will come to us, you know, and they'll bring the picture, you know, what information, and then Deborah will connect, and then, you know, I say I bring the energy, then Deborah's able to go to those levels to you know, seek and find that information, but it comes in different ways.
So in this particular case, with someone who may have been killed in an ambulance, What happens?
Well, what happens is it murder cases take a lot of energy, because what I end up doing is it's different from the healing. If I'm healing, I'm feeling the person that needs to be healed. If I'm doing a murder case, I'm feeling the victim that was murdered. So now I got to go and see and feel what they went through, and then give that information forth.
That's not easy.
No, it requires a lot of energy from Sherry and I to be able to do that type of work. So, and it does with our healings as well. It's just that the murder cases take a whole nother level, because we're going even a step higher than some of the other work that we do.
Let's go out to Oregon. Lisa's with us. Hey, welcome to the program, Lisa.
Good morning, George.
Hi.
Hi. So I'd like to know if there's any special technique or way that I could use to focus on or specify one particular person or spirit. I heard her say that she picks up on the strongest spirit that comes through. And my second question is, there's no such thing as time on the other side. Could she tell me or see how I will die?
Actually, people always say, you know, I can see how you're going to pass. And I say that might be feeling that person's energy at this time. And if somebody gives you that information, are you going to allow that information to unfold because you believe it, and then all of a sudden that was maybe not the way you were supposed to? So I don't believe in saying how this person is or isn't going to pass. Now, when we did have somebody that was very, very sick, like we told earlier in the story, God did tell them, you know, she had 2 weeks to live. I'm going to walk you through your process of dying. So that was different. Feeling the difference in time, is that what you asked? If there's a time difference from here to there? Yes, there mm-hmm. is. When spirit speaks to me, they may give us a certain message, and that message might evolve right away in a healing. It might evolve in a week, and it might evolve in a year. So we always say, hang on to the words that are given to you, even if they don't have any meaning to you, because they will manifest and they will come forth to you and make sense to you later. And then she asked one other question. What was the other question?
If there was any special technique that I could use to focus in on a specific person or spirit?
Yes, I always say, Sherry and I do, is we say get a physical candle and light that physical candle. You know, say your prayer, maybe put the picture of the loved one that you like in front of you, mm-hmm. so that you can have that vision when you close your eyes. If you feel like you can't grab that person in your mind, and then you can open your eyes and that vision's right in front of you. But you're basically setting the intention, you're setting the tone, saying, bring forth this loved one. You're asking God to bring them forth. You want the direct connection. And then you can create a space that you would want to meet them in your mind. Maybe it's a meadow, maybe it's a river, maybe it's by a tree. And once you start doing that and that's your space, you can connect with that person in that space over and over. It just takes practice. Like anything that Sherry and I do, we give tools for each person in their healing. And with these tools, the more you practice, the better you become. And that's what I would say, is take that level and just keep practicing, and you'll start getting that communication.
Do you get into a meditative mode in order to connect with somebody on the other side?
Do I get in a what?
A meditative mode?
Actually, when Sherry does her frequency, when we all vibrate on our own frequency. So when Sherry finds the person that we're healing's frequency, then she finds mine, then she finds hers, and we all grab that frequency, then we're able to go to that frequency and be able to heal.
Ah, okay, and once you're in it, you're in it. We're going to come back in a moment. We're going to take final phone calls. Deborah Martin with us, Sherry Gettin, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast on our next program. By the way, Catherine Austin Fitz joins me for a couple hours. She'll be in studio, and then we're going to talk about the secret code on your hands, about palmistry reading. It's going to be fascinating indeed. Welcome back. Deborah Martin with us, Sherry Gettin as well. And Deborah, the websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com, but the book, Soul to Soul, how do we get it? Amazon? Where do you find it?
You do get it on Amazon, yes. You can get all of our books on Amazon, The Direct Connect to God,
Great.
Soul to Soul, yes.
When someone is ready to die, do they physically know it or spiritually know it?
I believe that you do. There's a sense of peace that comes overcomes you
where you're ready. Now, that's when, if you, let's say someone's dying in hospice, let's just say that.
Sure.
Now, if it's an automobile accident or something that was tragic, they may have gotten a premonition before, but usually those are very quick. And because I've been in two near-death experiences and automobile accidents, I can tell you that I was taken out of my body before impact. So they don't feel any pain. But when we talk about our, you know, dying and passing, when we do go into hospitals and we do help people connect with the higher source to feel peace, to feel that comfort, to feel that love, that they do, we can bring spiritual surgeons into the room. We can have God actually put extra medicine in them so that they can feel at peace and at comfort. We've actually had people that have said that they've asked for medicine from God and they could feel it whenever they needed it to give them that peace in those final days. And so even in our spiritual healings, when we do our healings, I can taste the medicine when they are given the medicine. I actually physically taste it and smell it and feel it go in. It's almost like getting sedated. So I would say, yes, in some cases they do feel and they know that they're ready. They might even see loved ones enter the room before they're going to take their last breath. And at other times, I believe that when we're taken quickly, that's just the way we're supposed to be taken because it's maybe the way that it's easier for us.
Okay, let's go to final phone calls now. Let's go to Gordon in Lakeland, Florida. Hello, Gordon. Good morning to you.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, George.
Sure thing, Gordon.
Debbie, Sherry. I want to share my experience and then have a question about it. First off, I was writing this book, and I have a book, but I'm not going to mention it. But I thought that this Bible verse was in it where I was quoting King David, and I was showing that something he said was not literal to show that it was a metaphor where he said that God, why do you forsake me, and God didn't. So that was showing something. And I thought that was in the book in my rough draft, and Jesus himself appeared to me in the stream. He says, Gordon, that Bible verse is not in your book. So he gave me the nod that I was supposed to write the book, and I woke up, and I checked it out. I did the keyword, I did Control F and searched the page, and it was not in the book. It was in some papers that I'd written on a similar subject, and that was amazing. So now my question is that the book is actually about these women have some children that are handicapped, and they don't want the child to endure pain. They think if the child grows up, he'll reject God, reject Jesus, and these women are killing their children to send them to heaven. And the purpose of writing the book was to show that killing the child will neither increase nor decrease the odds of eternal salvation. The kid will get a fair shake. The angels were in heaven. They had free will. Some of them accepted and some of them rejected. People have free will. And I wanted to get your take on two things. One, do you agree that probably that during the 1,000-year millennium, the babies that died before the age of accountability will probably get a chance to reunite with their parents and get free will and get a chance to accept or reject, and, you know, at the end of Revelation 20, there's rebellion. Some of them reject. And the second question is, can you help me with my fatigue and my headaches and my lack of focus because the world is on my shoulders? I'm trying to solve the world's problems. And if you just knew
me. Let's take that one first.
Okay, yeah, yes, that question exactly,
yeah,
Sherry.
I like
go
that
ahead.
One. Okay, sorry about that. What we do, we practice daily, is we tell people to, you know, you need to stop. You need to stop the, you know, and slow down, and you need to sit. And we always tell people to physical candle and light it because that makes you stop and sit down. So if you light that physical candle, you release. So everybody that you're worried about, you release that. You give that to God, to Jesus, whatever you connect with, a higher power, the divine, and then it takes it off your shoulders because I don't think we were meant to carry all those burdens on us. So if we're able to release those and then trust in the process, how it all unfolds, you know, we do this with everything from big to small, you know, even if you're going to see a specific doctor, you know, surrender, place the answer into God's hands, and then see how it all unfolds. Trust the open and the shut doors. But I know that it's not good to carry these burdens, and that,
you know, if you do this process daily and release these, that, you know, that you will see some relief within your body as well.
Yeah, because it's not up to you. And so you're thinking about all these different questions and what you can do for other people and where are the answers. And sometimes we're not supposed to know these answers, and sometimes we just need to pray about it and put it in God's hands and just allow the process to take place instead of trying to figure them out. It's kind of like surrender them, like Sherry said. When we start to hold on to them, we carry that burden on our chest. Our chest becomes heavy, and that's where you're losing the lack of energy because you're holding so much on your chest. And so that's why people will come to us and will say, "Oh my gosh, I feel this heaviness. You can barely breathe. You have lack of energy." And we can see that. And it takes, sometimes it takes, you know, to have a spiritual healing to release those roots that you're dealing with deep within, so that you don't have to be the one to carry or to figure out the answers for everyone else.
Okay. Let's go to Josie in Virginia on the wild card line. Josie, go ahead.
At last, I have to be brief because I know it's late. Greetings to everybody.
Hi.
And blessings.
Hi.
I've got two quick questions, and I'd like to have a confirmation. One is my grandson has ODD along with ADD, mm-hmm. and it was suggested to me that perhaps a spirit could attach to people with ODD when they were being born in a hospital, maybe from somebody who died in the same hospital. That's the first question. And then I can go on to the next one after you answer.
All right, let's do that one first. Which one, Sherry, Debbie?
I've never heard that before, Deborah. I don't know. You know, we've had a lot of people that have come to us that their children, you know, do have that. And, you know, but I've never heard that before. Have you, Deborah?
I've never heard that because when they were born, that then they have this attachment. I believe that, you know, as we get older, we may manifest and have attachments on us, but as a child, I can't see that would be attached onto a baby as they were born.
Okay, that's great. That's good to know that. The second question is, I have a friend who we were very close for a while, and now he's distancing himself. And my thought is that this has been his history because he has lost so much in his family over his whole growing up years. And I wondered if that, and I've been meaning to see if you can verify if that maybe the abandonment issue is, or the loss of, is why he's afraid and fear, you know, runs this planet. If that fear is the reason why he won't get close to anybody, me or anybody else.
Well, abandonment is a big issue. And when you've been abandoned, you can feel that you're afraid to trust anyone. And so those issues lay deep within, and those are things that God would come forth to say words that child or that person needs in order to know that they are very loved and they have never been abandoned. And you can read about abandonment in our book, Direct Connect God, and we feel that in our book, it holds a vibration, healing vibration, so that if maybe you read that chapter, that healing can also, those words can also be healing to you.
An atheist, a non-believer, did something happen to them in their life where they don't believe? I might do a whole show with just atheists to call. I'd like to know what happened in their life where they don't believe. Did their parents do it to them?
You know, I think that a lot of people, you know, they look at things and you know, what we get is people will say, you know, where's God? Why is this happening? They see all these tragedies around them. You know, some people have more than others. But I think until they have their own experience, something to feel, something to touch, they you know, maybe sometimes, you know, don't realize it. But, you know, we've seen people, you know, change because they've heard words that resonate in their soul. So, you know, I think people that are perhaps like that maybe haven't had their own experience and they don't have that connection.
Yeah, and I also think that when somebody is an atheist, they could fear it, the unknown, but they could also say, why do I want to have? Life is too good the way it is. I don't
mm-hmm.
need. And they just go on with, I don't need God in my life, what for? And like Sherry said, sometimes we need to have that shift to wake us up. And at other times, it's just that it's maybe it's just not their time. And it's their choice. You know, it's their choice what they want to believe. But I also believe that atheists also don't see, they're more negative, and they don't see the blessings that surround them every day. And so that if you can give them the tools of seeing just the simplest blessing, maybe that would turn them around.
All right, let's go to John in Connecticut, first-time caller. John, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
It really means a lot to me. My mom had passed away about 6 years ago, and we were very, very, very close. At that particular time when she passed away,
yeah.
We kind of had a spat, and we weren't talking for a while. And I got a call from the hospital. They said, you know, we were looking for you for like 4 days. We finally got a hold of you. Mom's in the hospital, and we don't think she's got too much more time to go. How soon can you get up there, you know? And I went up right away.
And that's hard because you didn't get closure. And when you have something where things weren't really good between the two of you, that's why when we say, come have a healing session, you can have that direct connection with her. You can feel her. You can have that closure. You can have that conversation. You can have that embrace and be able to connect in a different realm. Now you'll be able to connect spirit to spirit where you can learn to have a new relationship with your mom.
And closure is important, isn't it?
It's huge. It's like John's feeling so much pain.
There's pain
that
there.
He's now feeling because of no closure. He's now taking on pain, which is causing him not to feel good. And she would never want him to feel that way.
So when you talk about healing, it's not only physical healing of whatever's wrong with somebody, but it's also spiritual and emotional, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah, there's healings on many levels, and we do them worldwide as well. Like, they don't have to be in person. We've done people all the way from Shanghai, China, and it's instant. You know, the energy travels.
Yeah,
so,
and often. Go ahead. Sorry, Deborah.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, often what people think it is, you know, if they have pain in their heart, it's something else. It's something. There's a root of it. There's a cause of it. So, you know. Sometimes you need that extra help. You know, you're not able to heal, or you're going, what's going on? You know, I'm taking this medicine. It's not working. And so, you know, we're able to help and, you know, give you what that root is so that you're able to release that and be healed. But, yes, it's all levels. It's emotional, physical, spiritual, depression, grief. It comes in all forms. And, you know, we've actually had people that have come to us that have had weight loss because they heard words and they felt that they were loved, and they finally felt after all these years in their life that they were deserving, and they felt, you know, they never felt worthy, or they didn't feel, you know, self-worth.
Does the spirit want closure too?
I feel the spirit has closure. They see things on the other side so much differently, but I feel that they like to give closure to their loved one because they don't want them to hold on anything, any pain from what they may have caused them.
Let's see if we've got time for one or two more. Maybe we do. Lloyd is in Austin, Texas, east of the Rockies. Lloyd, go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Hi.
Back in 2000, my older sister passed away. Before she passed, we had several conversations about her belief in life after death. And before she died, I told her, well, if you figure out a way to let me know, tell me. She said she would. So she passes a couple of months later. My alarm clock goes off at 6:45. Well, it was set for 5:30 for me to get up and go to work.
Yeah.
And it started doing this several times a week at 6:45. We go on vacation at the hotel in Tennessee. The clock goes off at 6:45. Did that twice while we were gone for those 2 weeks. I get home. Next morning, it's a weekend, Saturday, and the clock goes off at 6:45. It finally dawned on me what was going on. I sat on the edge of the bed, and I looked up, and I said, Betty, okay, I believe you. Don't ring my phone anymore.
That's right.
The phone never rang again at 6:45. Now, you ask about 6:45. How does that connect? Her oldest son, my nephew, was killed in a head-on collision back in 1985, just north of Bastrop, Texas. And the time of death was set at 6:45.
Oh, my God. What a synchronicity there. Hey, Deborah and Sherry, I want to thank you for spending a couple hours with us. Keep in touch with us. It was great having you the first time. It's great having you this time.
Yeah, we're really, really happy to be on your show. We also wanted to share with you that we are working on a TV pilot, and if anybody wants to see a trailer to our documentary called Beyond, they can go to our website at deborahandsherry.com.
You got it. Thank you again. For Juan Velasquez, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.